Behold thy mother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Your Excellency, dear faithful, dear children, today we have the feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. On this feast we remember especially the families of the world. So numerous families have to, in our dark world, suffer because of heartless men. Men who have no interest in God, in keeping His commandments, and no interest in answering with their love to the great love of God, which He has shown by creating and sustaining us. And how different was the Immaculate Heart of Mary, so filled with love towards God and men, and still pierced by the sword because of the sinfulness and because of coldness of men. To compare what kind of efforts Our Lady does to gain the sinful souls back to God, I wanted today to paraphrase you a great Victorian story named The Heart of Princess Joan. In the story, a great queen had a baby girl named Joan, when one night a fairy stole the baby's heart. Her mother saw something fly across the room like a tiny bird with pink soft feathers and to fly straight out of the window. And this Princess Joan grew up to be a girl like no one else. Nothing ever troubled her. She never shed even one tear. If she were angry, she would stamp her feet and her eyes would flash, but she never wept and she loved nobody. When her dog, a little dog, died, she laughed at it. When the king, her father, went to the war, it did not grieve her. And when he returned, she was no happier than she had been when he was away. She never kissed her mother, and when she said she loved her, she stared at her and asked, "What does love mean?" Princess Joan grew up and he was the loveliest woman in the land. But for all that, her mother mourned over her sorely, and her eyes were red with crying for her beautiful daughter, who had never yet wept one tear herself. In the neighboring country, there was a king and queen who had a son named Prince Michael. He was handsome and as gracious to the poorest beggar as to the greatest lord, and all the poor folk came to him to tell him their troubles if they thought they were badly treated. One day Prince Michael saw a picture of Princess Joan and fell in love to her. He was warned that she was enchanted and would bring nothing but trouble. But the prince saw her as the most beautiful creature in the world. But when he saw her and noticed how cruel she was, he made a vow that he would never marry her until Joan would love him as he loved her. He decided to go and seek the stolen heart of the princess and made her mother swear that she would wait for him for 7 years before marrying her to someone else. Prince Michael rode until he came to a castle in which are kept all the hearts of men and women that fairies steal, or that they themselves throw away. This castle was guarded by an old gnome who promised to let him in if Michael would stay in and work for him until the eggs of a serpent would hatch. Work was very hard. Michael's hands grew hard and brown and cracked with working at the heavy stones, and his face and neck were finally blistered and sunburned with the fierce sun that beat upon him as he worked. So the time passed. Michael worked hard by day, but by night he lay and cried. One day when the 7 years had nearly passed, he bent over a pool of water, and in it saw his own face, and he saw that his hair was thin and streaked with gray, his face was wrinkled, and his eyes dim with crying. and also his shoulders were bowed with hard work, and his clothes, once so gorgeous, now hung mere rags upon his bent form. He became despair and tried to break the serpent's eggs, but notice they were hard as stone, and he bent his head till his tears fell upon the eggs. No sooner did they touch them than the shells broke and the pieces fell asunder. He went into the castle, and the fairy gave him a soft pink feathery thing with wings but shaped like a heart, and it trembled and quivered in Michael's hand. Michael hurried from the castle as quickly as might be to Joan's country, but there he found out that since 7 years were almost past, the princess was about to be wed to a king of another country. Since Michael had grown so old, nobody recognized him, and when he tried to get into the palace, he was thrown into prison. At night, as he lay and mourned, he heard sounds of merrymaking and music and laughter from the castle. Sometimes he called out, "Joan, Joan, I am here, I who have worked for you for years and brought home your stolen heart, and now will you wed another in spite of all?" Sometimes he beat against the bars of the prison window, but all in vain. And at last, when all sound had ceased from the castle, he lay silent upon the ground, caring no more for life. When the sun rose, the morning of the wedding, when the sun was high, Michael heard the tramping of horses and the sound of music, and he looked between the bars of the prison window and saw a wedding grand procession. In their midst, in a golden gown and seated on a white horse, was Princess Joan, and she looked just as lovely as when he went away 7 years before. On one side of her rode her father and mother, and the queen's face was most mournful, and her eyes were red with crying. On the other rode an ugly old man, whom Michael guessed to be the king, and he smiled and bowed to the people, but they muttered and grumbled when they looked at him, and saw how ugly and wicked he looked, and how he, instead of a young prince, would be wed to the princess. When Michael saw them coming, he took from his bosom the little pink heart and stroked it fondly, and at once it spread its wings and fluttered through the bars of the prison and over the heads of the people. For a moment it rested at the side of the Princess Joan and then disappeared. She gave a scream and cried, "My mother, my father, what has happened? Oh, see, it is Michael who has returned." And before they could stop her, she had turned towards the prison window and pushed her white arms through the bars to clasp the prince. "Michael, my love," she cried, "how gray and worn you are now. How hard you must have labored for me through these long years. Now, how shall I pay you, except by loving you all my life?" Then the people burst into the prison and brought out Michael, all torn and gray as he was. And Princess Joan kissed him and begged that he would marry her at once, that everyone might see how well she loved him and how grateful she was. So they brought a fine white horse with a grand gold saddle and jeweled bridle, and placed Michael upon it, and he rode to church beside the princess and married her, and the people threw flowers before them, and bells rang and trumpets sounded, and all were glad. Dear faithful and dear children, the world and ourselves can never be saved except if we regain our hearts, the hearts which are like that of Mary's. It is the devil and it is the sin which always want to steal our own hearts, hearts which have been created by God and hearts which must and are meant to be love God. A Mary-like heart is the one who always returns fully the love of God. A Mary-like heart drives away all hatred, envy, and temptations. We must, and let us, regain our hearts, which the evil fairy of this world has stolen. Let us break the giant castles of sin and the bars of the prison, which is this world, and let us embrace our Mother, Blessed Virgin, whose sorrowful and immaculate heart was pierced for the love to her Son and to us. Like Prince Michael worked for 7 long years, all crying, all sorrowful, and all worn out of being separated from his great love, let us also mourn because we are separated from our dear Jesus, because so many of our families, so many of our country, so many in our whole world are separated from their true love, the Son of God, Jesus. Immaculate Heart of Mary is the model and example of how our hearts must be, free from all attachment to sin and always piercing for the sorrow of sin, but always joyful for the redemption from this prison of the world which Jesus has brought us. Like Pope Pius XII wrote in his prayer to Mary, inflame us with the same divine fire which has inflamed your own sorrowful and immaculate heart. Make our hearts and homes your shrine, and through us make the heart of Jesus, together with your rule, triumph in every heart and home. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.